Okay, so the idea, of course, is not to go through the entire budget, but to look at those areas now which appear to be in light blue. Am I right? Is it light blue or whatever? May I ask my counselor to come up here quickly, please? The only thing that is not in light blue, that is new, is something I handed out now, and I'm wondering if the Honourable Keiko has got her copy. It's coming along now. It's coming along now. Shall we leave the intro to last and go to the first colour, and that is page 4. Do you see that? Page 4. Got both a highlighted section as well as blue. At the top of the page, in terms of economic classification, 97% of the budget will be transfers and subsidies primarily to public corporations such as SEZs and private enterprises as incentives. It sounds like an enterprise private enterprises. Are they subsidized? I'm at the top of page 13. I was on 11. Well, I thought so many of you were mind readers. Apologies. important to confirm that that was the case. Is this the case, Ms. Gump? At the bottom of 13, a highlight.
Chair, I'll just get back to you on that one.
All right. Two flags on page 13.
Where is the legal advice?
Right, sitting next to Margot there. All right, we'll finish up to page 20 or something, right until we get to number 3, wherever number 3 is, entity, and then we'll break. The budget allocation is 5, 15. Did you get any sort of comments, you know, on any of the areas we just want to go through quickly? We didn't. No. Page 15, 16, 17. Now, members, it is at this point that we're going to take a little break. And we've got the legal advisor here who is with us. That is not advocate, but Ms. Ngema. Ms. Ngema, you're all ready for the issues around the appointment process of the National Lottery Commission chairperson. Is that right? Is that right? Honourable members, can I ask you, as requested at the beginning, to move and shift to this item? Now, some of you will recognise, if not all of you, this file. Now, you should have your own file in front of you. Is that correct? Yes. And everyone else present. Now, as you know, this process has been conducted according to the legislative requirements, with the DPI making recommendations to us after they have advertised. And I believe, Ms. Naidu or Ms. Gulp, how many applications were received?
Documented, and I'm not
know, belief is such a subjective thing. Yes, Honourable Kalaki.
No, Chair, I was going for me, my understanding is a full process. They have their process, which will come as a community referred to us as the end of the process to finance. Because you know why I'm raising that? If you follow all these principles, this actually, I don't know whether it was in March, the news agency, government news agency, published all the appointments by government, of course, including this. His names were there. So that process has carried up to cabinet level. And the cabinet decided on five names or six names who were included and adopted to be in the board of the NDC. Then the department, because they have already gone through up to the level of the appointment of that board, which were not able. Out of that, the part of the chairperson had to come to us here. And we demanded to have training out of the 5 minutes and the system. So to me, the transparent, I think the department, they undergo a different process with us. But with us, when it is yes, we must get all those names, and we must get also, and we must be public, open. I don't think they conduct interviews in a public way with media and everything there. So I don't see any problem on that. But there's nothing wrong from us requesting the names and the record. I think that's what we can ask from them.
Thanks again, Chairperson. Basically, Chairperson Lila is speaking in terms of Section 33 of the Civil Service Act. The minister is required to present the request for notable nomination, and which I believe for us to be in this process is already being done. And the process that is before Parliament, as the previous member has indicated, is basically through an open and transparent process, which I believe is what we are conducting, to then go through the interviews of those that the minister has already presented. Thank you.
Right. But I think as the Honourable Kalaka has said, which is, I think, in line with the earlier request that you made at another meeting, Honourable MacPherson, is the names of those short lists of names. We don't want the whole 100 million there for the first page, and I'm saying, I mean, it was 37, you said? If we can get those names in due course. Is that not in line with what you were saying, Honourable MacPherson?
It is, but I'm excellent again to misunderstand what I was saying. And I don't doubt the legality of the minister presenting the notice and providing us with the shortest name. That it is constitutional to do so. My point is that what I want to understand is the rationality of the minister shortlisting those two names. That's the crux of my point. I don't understand the rationality of those two names from the shortlist. And that's what I need to understand. And there's no clarity, there's no position or no record of decision of why those are the two names that he recommended.
You see where I'm having a challenge here, Honourable MacPherson, is that you sat with us as the representative from the DA when your colleague was away on that particular day. We were looking at the questions, we were raising issues, etc., that needed to be raised, was not raised. What you did ask for is a list of the names. Now you've done that three times, meaning at that meeting when we started the interview process just before and today. Now, you know, you haven't spoken about rationale and that, although that automatically is taken into account. We would expect a minister, anyone, a chairperson, where decisions are taken, they need to be guided by rationality. We are aware of that. So we have requested for that short list of names, not the five per se, but the 37, to be given over. The criteria is already legislated. It is there laid down for us. So I'm going to ask us to continue. We finally have the three names. We agreed, not the department, to our process of questioning. And we, I believe, conducted it very effectively and robustly in a transparent manner. So I do want to go there. I do want to ensure that we do get this list of 37 names, because Ms. Naidu, we have already requested that. It's not, this is not the first time for the names. Because I must say I myself have not had my emails working. I've already indicated that. So you would have had them even before me. All right. Thank you. We're then going to move on to the three names we received, recommendations that were on the APC at the time. And that is the Mr. William Huma, Mr. Abel Mawela, and the incumbent Professor Nebu Tunzel. All right, those were the three we got. We put the same questions to them. That was very fair. We had the opportunity to ask a few extra. We also had the opportunity to assist us with scoring facility. Although, as we said at the beginning, this wouldn't simply be based on scoring, but that would be regarded as an interviewing support, as it were, device. So what I would like then, is we've been through this, I think Honourable Hill Lewis, you pointed out to all of us at the time, on that day, that, you know, it's 10 community development, and not 5, 10, 15, 20, you know, as it would appear to be. So one would be expected to say 5 from the first one and 5 from the second. Is that correct that I understood your comment there? The other thing, of course, was E, the ability to respond to questions confidently, and the exhibition, how you handle yourself in front of a panel, you know? And we were all able to see that. So I'm now going to open up to a proposal as to the most suitable candidate from members and why. Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I have absolutely no hesitation in recommending the appointment of Mr. William Huma. And I'll motivate why I believe that's the correct decision. Firstly, just on the scores, he was far and away the highest scoring candidate of my three. On my score, he scored 82 out of 100. I can honestly say to you, Chairperson, as a member of this committee who has been in this committee for 5 years now, Mawela was a very, honestly, he had a very weak interview. I scored him a 60 out of 100. His ability to answer the questions was noticeably weaker than all of the other two candidates. So I won't deal very much with him. Professor Nebukadnezar is, of course, the incumbent. He's well known to all of us. He definitely scored second best in my books. I had him at 70 out of 100. He has been in the job for, I believe, since 2009, so going on 9 years now. And, you know, he has seen the commission through a great deal of change. I have raised concerns with him directly and with this committee in the past about some statements that he has made publicly, about his appearances at political party rallies. And I've been open about that. I've raised that in committee and I've raised that in writing directly with him, as I mentioned again in the interview. I don't think that disqualifies him because he has apologized to this committee for doing that in the past. So I don't raise that as a disqualifier, but I do raise it as a concern because the extent to which lottery funds have been used for political purposes in the past has been a major source of concern to me and my party. So my ranking order of preference is definitely Mr. Huma, Professor Nebukadnezar, and then lastly and distant third, Mr. Mawela. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that. I'm actually going to go to different parties. Pretty, you know, I really must say this again. I appreciate the EA attending this committee regularly. And I think it's very remiss, and politically, I think you are at a disadvantage if you speak in the House and you're not in the chamber in the committee regularly. And that applies to the parties who don't attend the political party. But let me turn to the ANC next, please.
I think that Mr. Taylor and on behalf of the ANC, I just want to give a broad overview of how we saw the story. When looking at the first person, Mr. Zuma, he was very confident and seemed to be very comfortable. However, we had a concern in terms of the documents that we had in front of him, that might have indicated that we had the documents, and that we could have looked at the notes, and that would have helped in expressing our confidence. But I thought in his visit, based on the knowledge that the way he conducted himself was his ability to respond to questions confidently and also the exhibition of leadership qualities. However, when looking at the community development side, which is a very huge part of his responsibilities, he would occupy the position, he wasn't very good in that area or excellently performing, and that was a point of concern. When looking at the next candidate, Mr. Mawela, I was very disappointed in his performance, and we didn't at all was confident in expressing himself. We would recall that he was chairperson and other former members of the NAC to repeat to him the questions and explain to him the questions, and that was a great deal of concern to me. And therefore, I scored very low with 42 out of 100 points. When looking at the current person, Mr. Nebukadnezar, Professor Nebukadnezar, I scored him with 81 out of 100% based on the fact that he was very confident in expressing himself with regards to the questions asked. And he also expressed a great deal of leadership qualities, and they have a clear way in indicating where the challenges that is confronted by the current position, where he sees the organization in the future. And also, chairperson, he wants to meet. It was not a type of concern, the fact that he's been there for quite some time, and the obviously he showed me or convinced me that he's the correct incumbent at that stage. And if in future we will have to look at the term that is going to occupy the position, and maybe that in future that someone else might be recognized for the occupying the position, but at this stage I thought and I would like to propose formally that Professor Levitanda should be the best candidate as
No, thank you very much, Honourable Hans Goldbeck. I must say from where I sat and I checked with Mr. Herman, I didn't see paper that would have assisted him, but rather where he was making notes. But as I said, that was simply my, from what I saw. Yes, Honourable Hans Goldbeck.
Sorry, Chairperson, one thing that I will note is when looking at the Mr. Duma, you see that he's occupying a lot of current positions in different boards, and that was also a point of concern, because even though he was conscious about that, it might be that when he's been appointed, he won't resign from those positions, and he might be very occupied, and that's one of the points that I'm also putting into consideration.
Thank you very much, Honourable Van Spolbeek.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to concur with my colleague, the Honourable Kildur, on the suitability for Mr. Humer as the Chairperson. I come from a corporate background, and I have interviewed many people in my career, and I think Mr. Humer's interview was certainly one of the most impressive interviews that I've ever come across. I think his knowledge of legislation was outstanding. I think particularly what was interesting to me was his views on the so-called discretionary fund and to immediately develop a policy to guide spending of funds in that. I thought that point was well made. What I'm concerned about is this sort of underhanded comment that was made that, well, somehow he had some notes in front of him and maybe he knew what some of the questions were.
Can I just correct one word? I wouldn't call it underhand. It's people are simply telling us and sharing what they knew. So let's avoid that kind of adjective.
Well, I think the attempt to to sort of say, well, how did he answer the questions so well? And also, is he too busy? I think that those are unfortunate statements. Because we're casting aspersions on a candidate without him having to actually respond to those. Mr. Humer was very clear that his term of office on those boards comes to an end now. I think that idea should absolutely be struck from our minds that he may be too busy. So I believe, and I would concur once again with my honourable colleague, that the NLC has faced challenges. There have been some questionable decisions that have been taken over the last couple of years, and even the incumbent admits
Honourable Kalanku.
Now, Chair, to me, the death penalty, I won't be going to the incumbent. In fact, the fact that he has been able to turn around the National Lottery Commission to a level and developed, in fact, even some controlling mechanism. To an extent that they have been able to receive an unqualified deposit. So to me, that on its own, I don't see all the things that there are no control. And even on the side, which, you know, I'm not that much on the side of when you invest money, but what I don't see. Is to really address the programs of the, I mean, the needs of community, and make sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go, and also intervene where actually the money happened to be going somewhere which is not going to benefit the community. To me, that's the strongest. And William is very weak on that. I question him. He's very weak on that. His approach is more business oriented. And again, of course, through his mistake, he's going to resign. They are coming to an end. But you know what usually happens when you put a person there? It becomes a problem now for him resigning. You have to write letters, when are you resigning? Said you are resigning, and he says, no, I've seen the process. But at the same time, I understand he's sharing what a challenge he has or what. He didn't speak about that, that he was resigning. And he's accountable to the board. So you can't be, I think that's another issue which you have to check. We'll have to check that. Because if he's in a structure which manages and disperses money of lottery accountable to the board, then that will have a problem. We can't sit on the board and then also share the other structure which is accountable to the board. Which is to me that's but he knows and he has in fact made an effort to make sure that he follows and starts and to raise the health and also regulation. That I can't know. But to me the best candidate was the incumbent. And in fact, for me, the fact that he has been actually, he has been retained by the very minister, and the cabinet has endorsed his name, it means he shows a confidence in him that he has done a good work. So why should you take a person who has at the end of him actually, now you bring a new person when is that? Because another game you are not.
Thank you, Honourable Kalako. I did just see Lord and Honourable Bill Lewis. I just want to just point out two or three things as I come here. I mean, I actually also made extra notes in my book. That's what I witnessed people. I noticed, Chair, that, and I noted that he answered the questions very comprehensively, most of them. When it came to the community lot, he was quite technical on that. And in fact, my own impression, which is why I then looked to see, my gosh, he seems to even know the questions of all. But I must say, quite honestly, I didn't see a question paper on his desk. But the impression created very well prepared, and for that he should be commended, that he did apply his mind to it. And then when you look at his academic record, cum laude, here, etc., it's quite clear that he is able to apply his mind and to respond in the most appropriate way. He also came across as a person of integrity, which I think is appreciated here as well. But when it came to the disbursements, which is where I have a difference of opinion, I found that the disbursement issue, and I'm saying this, I think it was either to yourself, Honourable MacPherson, or the Honourable Hill Lewis, who indicated how well he had responded there. I noted here that he had given a very technical response and even referred to the need to do research and development, and that it would be through research and development that he would identify these appropriate ones and need, communities and needs. I didn't think, and I've actually noted that here, you know, this is it, because it made an impression on me that this was an academic performance or response, not an incorrect one, but only part of the issue. When it came to Mr. Mawela, I think someone said here it was disappointing. It was very disappointing. I see that I'm very generous with my marking, listening to both the DA side of it and the AMC, because my lowest mark, I think, was 78%. So, you know, yeah, but you see how generous I am, and so on. And then my highest was, I think, 96%. But then I was also making notes here. I did expect the incumbent to do well. If he hadn't have done well after being there 6 years or 7 years, it would have been a surprise, you see. So one would have expected that performance. But in the end, it was clear that even Mr. Mawela actually did give a better response on the community side than Mr. Huma. So I wanted to note that on the issue around the paper, what the issue was there. I also wanted to point out the ones on the board. Somebody else asked the question, and if I'm not mistaken, it was yourself, Honourable Hill Lewis, on the board for the first time. And I actually did a follow-up on that to ask, well, it's just too many boards. You know, we've had this problem before. And he made it clear that he would be resigning from one, not five. And I must make that clear. And I look here, it is five boards that he's sitting on. And the other issue that I have a problem with, but it's not a problem, it's more, well, we need to weigh it up. All the boards he sits on, other than the trust, he's in a position of chairperson on an audit, not on another type of board. Of course, I didn't ask other candidates what boards they were sitting on, and I mean, to be fair to all of them. So I'm not telling you who my, you know, who I've identified per se. We heard the DA position. We will get a quick follow-up. We've got, I think we all had 4 minutes, those who did speak on it, and I'm going to allocate another 4 minutes for each party.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. One turn to the CV of Mr. Sundin. You'll see that he's also a member of core boards currently. He's a member of a board of a company called BDK. I don't know who that is. He's a member of Cobb African Mining Company's board. He's a member of the Johannesburg Property Company board. And he's recently launched the Alfred Neville Sundin Charity Trust, in the paper. So I'm not sure that it's a fair criticism to say that these people are on boards. I think people who have experience in corporate governance generally tend to sit on many boards, and that's the way it is. So it seems to me like they sit on exactly the same number of boards. I'm not sure that that is a relevant concern. Then, Chair, I just want to point out that according to the Act, which is at the back of our packets, the chairperson may serve 10 years. So my understanding would be that in 18 months, or less than 18 months, we would have to go through this process again because the chair has already been the incumbent for 8 years, nearly 9 years now. I would say that getting in some fresh blood in the Lotteries Commission would be the best way to go, and that we should appoint this.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hill Lewis. It actually was the first sort of work we did on this committee in 2009, and I suppose that's why it was he was appointed in November or December of 2009, which takes us obviously to 2019. Just a little information there. From the ANC, Honourable Kalaka.
No, Chair, we are mindful of that statement. We took this decision knowing very well that the person who actually including Williams was there. It will help him in that evening period to learn. So if when we make another appointment, he must apply again. Let's give the present incumbent to finish what he has actually put into place.
Let me just speak to Nathingema, as we sit here, it would appear as if the incumbent, Professor Matthew Tundo, it is now May, I suppose, has been there would have been there in 2009, May, 18 months, and 2 years would be November. Given, I haven't got the exact wording of the Act, but you may recall it better than I do, that it talks is of 10 years of the date of appointment. Is that right?
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, the provision that speaks to this is Section 3 of the Local Act. It basically allows for 5 years per term.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the specific provision, it enables the minister to give another term, which may not go beyond 5 years. So looking at the current circumstances of the professor and his tenure is the fact that he has, as we have indicated, served the first 5 years, and then there was this current serving, which was the extension from the first one. And in that one, he's already in his third year, leaving him, as already indicated, with less than 2 years if he would have to be chosen as the preferred candidate in this instance. And as members have already also pointed out, then that would be an issue just to take into consideration, but it is not a statement or a point that by his appointment saying that he still has less than 2 years if he becomes a preferred candidate. But that is an issue of concern which members are already doing consideration in this stage.
But I understand he was only appointed in November. I mean, we only did the interviews in 2009, so he wouldn't have been there before. So I'm looking November to November to November 2019 is 2 years. So he will, by the time we have fresh elections in 2019, it will be 18 months if elections go ahead in May 2019. His 2 years would be up in 2019, November. It's 2 years from the date of appointment, is it not? Is it not? And the appointment was not done in May 2019 because I wasn't even chair then. The interviews were done in November 2019. Do you follow?
Yes.
So it's not... He won't have served less than, rather more than, but less than. And I think that is why I'm raising this. If it was less than, I would have a problem, because you would go to election and not have a lot of a chairperson. And that would be really a challenge to good governance. you need to have someone who continues in that position until a new team is in Parliament. You hear what I'm saying? And I think that for me was the governance issue there. We'll get from yourself, Ms. Coles, the exact date of appointment in November, if you can get that for us. But I think now, members, you know, one thing is clear that we're all there's unanimous agreement on Honourable Hill-Lewis and Honourable Kalapu, as I understand it, that it's clear that Mr. Abel Mowelwa is not the should not be the candidate. Is that not so? At least there's an agreement around this. What is not that clear, though, is what the situation is between the actual candidate, Mowelwa. And I think your scoring, if I was to look at it, would reflect that he was the lowest scorer or not the most suitable. And the challenge we need to take into consideration, and Honourable Khadebe, you may also wish to comment, seeing as you were there at the time, is that who would serve our interests better, considering the target? You know, I've said sufficient myself. I won't speak more. So if you wish to comment at all. The country. Sorry. Come on, you know me better than that. The interests of South Africa. What is the mandate of the National Lottery? What's the mandate that we've got for this commission? Do you wish to comment on the book, maybe?
Let's check it out. On the issue of his appointment, I really look backwards when he was appointed as the chairperson of the board. But also when you amended the National Lottery Act, I looked at the various issues you provided there. I think that we were unanimously that in the issue of the amendment. And then what was very interesting, one of the, you know, that debate was very interesting. I recall that the Lewis was speaking for the federal CPA. And then...
Was he at that time?
Yeah.
Oh, he was on the
end.
No, I look at that. Chairperson, you can look at that amendment. That amendment. Because Pop, who came with it before, when we made it, said that there were problems in the areas of the investment of power. There is a problem with the area of not the National Research Board not being able to be proactive on the issues of the state. But the fact that he was able to ensure that a proper legislation is in place so that there can be proactive allocation. There can be proactive allocation of the funds. It should ensure that we were very clear, but the disadvantage of having that I was not part of the interview, but when coming to the issue of the character of Professor Chamba, it cannot be in doubt. You know. We tried this best, and then you go all into the various sectors of sport, the way this transformation was coming. I think that it was one of the best. But as I said, it's disadvantage I was not part of the interview. But as for the sector of all this, I think it is for itself.
All right, members, I'm now going to go to the formal process here.
Yes.
Because this is an important decision, as all of ours are, report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the appointment of chairperson and board members for the National Lottery Board dated 19th May 2017. The Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, having received the request from the Minister of Trade and Industry dated 15th February 2017 and 14th March 2017, that the relevant Assembly Committee recommends a suitable person for appointment as chairperson of the National Lottery Board. Yes, I'm just looking here. Commission. And we're not doing the board. We only doing the chair for the first time, we wouldn't be even at the recommend that we would need to recommend. They have to put more than one person on the ATC, but we will only recommend one, not two. So I'm not sure why we would want to put that in brackets, the X, because we only recommend one. Mustengema?
That's correct.
Yes, so that should not put up for appointment in terms of that section of the Lottery Act 1997, Act 57, 1997, here an article referred to as the Act reports as follows. The Minister invited nominations of persons as candidates to be appointed as members of the National Lottery Commission. It isn't, you know, it isn't, you see, it's not as members, it's as chairperson who drafted this. It's just as well as what we as chairperson of the National Lottery Commission, as contemplated there, see the government project. Department of Trade and Industry submitted the CVs of three candidates. I think it would be of value to have seen some short list of X. Don't you think so? You know, it was a big short list, wasn't it? 37. I think that that is important. They got a lot of applications. The Department of Trade and Industry has submitted the CVs of three candidates for the position of chairperson of the Commission of the National Lottery Commission. Chairperson of the National Lottery Commission. Dr. Huma, Mr. Mawela, and Mr. Professor Nebu Tondo. The committee interviewed the candidates on the 12th May 2017. And on the 19th of May 2017, after the deliberation, the Department of Trade and Industry submitted CVs of three candidates for the position of chairperson of the National Lottery Commission, Mr. Huma, Mr. Mawela, and Mr. Professor Nephew Tunder. On the 19th of May 2017, after deliberation, the committee recommends that the following candidate, recommends that the following candidate be appointed as chairperson of the Board of the National Lottery Commission. Right, now, the formal process is the proposal, the seconding, the objections, and then the vote. Right. Honourable Hilda. Seconded by the Honourable Max. Sorry.
As Chairperson, I'd like to second the nomination of Mr. William Huma as the Chairperson of the National Lottery Commission.
Thank you, Honourable Max, for seconding it. Do we have any other nominations? Yes, Honourable Kalaku.
Chair, I propose for the Chairman to continue of the Lottery Board.
Professor Albert Nebuchadnezzar. Right, thank you. Is that seconded? Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Mr. Chair, I want to second the proposal of Professor Albert Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, we have two names. Can we please see by show of hands the support for Mr. William Huma? thank you very much. Supported by the. Show of hands. let's say William Huma, we had both members of the DA, and then for Professor Nebu Tanda, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was saying that I had to clarify with the table the issues around. Could people vote who were not members of this committee yet officially? Yes, if they've been co-opted. But because we that must be seen too, but just in case there is a challenge, I call them the Honourable Khabebi as well. That's, you know, another reason why he's here. So we're going to go through with that. But I want to just add one thing which you have forgotten to put formally to on this proposal. Given that, as the legal advisor, Ms. Ngema, said, that Professor Nebu Tanda has only, from his date of appointment, which would be perhaps in May of this year, I say perhaps, there would be about 2 years, 2.5 years outstanding. But do you want to just clarify something with Scott?
Thank you, Chair.
So there we are, all things being considered, as from today, he would be probably appointed sometime in May, and that leaves him 2.5 years to serve. Therefore, we do need to put in, I think, to impress upon the minister that he should serve the remainder of the legislative term. So that it's clear he doesn't have another 5 years, but this minimum, is that clear?
What's that come back?
Can we just close the book for me? Thank you. We need then to go to the next item. Yes. I've just been informed by Mr. Herman, and I think you will concur. This doesn't go to the House for adoption. We were asked simply to consider, therefore it will go from the ACC. Is this correct?
Thank you,
are we all clear on that? Now I must apologise to you. I delayed you by 10 minutes. Yes, Ms. Nardu? Page 23 at the bottom of the page, it says, in where it should be. Page 35, Someone meanwhile every game through tell me where the triple B double E point bullet is, because I need to say something there. Page 36. Page 37. And over here, the committee endeavours that in dealing with the DTI's budget, it will engage. Endeavours. Endeavours to engage all relevant, I prefer it that way, endeavours to engage all relevant spheres of government to ensure that implementation of policies impact positively on all South Africans. So put the DTI's budget after that. The committee endeavours, when dealing with DTI's budget, to engage. Page 37, 4.6. I did say conclusion, but I should have given you the bullet point. 4.9, this is important as well. There's a need for the DTI and its entities to roll out further provincial public awareness campaigns on the products and services offered. The DTI should also encourage provincial and local government officials from poorer provinces to proactively promote and facilitate access to the DTI's family services and offerings. We've come then to 4.10, this may be it. The baseline study that will be conducted during this financial year will be critical to monitor and enforce the implementation of BBEE legislation. The DTI and Commission is encouraged to closely monitor transformation and use the necessary measures to ensure compliance. On this thing, we had a reference to the millions that were being given to BBEE. Do you remember? 120 odd million. 112. And that not all of it has happened. Is this correct, Ms. Goss? And what has happened is that I looked at my notes during those engagements with Ms. Ntuli, the current now appointed commissioner, and she's earnestly requesting a review of the funding. And I'm looking at yourself, Ms. Goss. It's not our practice to ask and ask for more money. But I think we need to then say something a little bit more positively in the conclusion, if we're not going to go into the recommendation. And to say that the committee believes that the funding allocated should be expedited, the allocation, the disbursement of that allocation should be expedited. And we need to put the amount in, and if possible, reviewed positively. And if, so we won't put it as a recommendation, because we're already asking for certain other funds, but we do want them to look at it, and if there's any spare cash, to put it there. All right, Ms. Sheldon?
From what I understand from the department, at this stage, the BBEE commission isn't listed formally as the so, $20 million, and Treasury will only really properly can consider more funding once it's listed as a scheduled
offer.
Right. That's the holdup.
So let's look at the recommendation you did make, although I was under the impression you weren't going to put it there. Engaging, I'm looking at 6.3 on page 39, engaging National Treasury to ensure that the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Commission receives the appropriate funding committed. Isn't that committed even? Can't be. And I think someone, when we deal with this, we ought to explain, it's not that it won't be, but given its status, yes, it can't happen, you know, in line with law. So I think we need to make that very, very clear to ensure that it is able to fulfill its mandate. we don't want to spend another year without funding there. That's what I am saying. All right? All the acknowledgements are there. I personally want to thank staff. Yes, Ms. Sheldon?
Just another point possibly is that in order for a entity to be listed, the government
But I think then that should be spelled out in the text, not in the conclusion. Do you hear? Do we agree, colleagues? You know, because if we don't even understand it, how does anyone else? So let's get that in the text. Because people are going to be saying again, well, the government says this, says this, says this, and nothing's happening. It can't happen. Why? Give the steps. Right, I think the recommendations are what's important. 6.1, in conjunction with the relevant ministers, developing stronger enforcement measures. It starts off, of course, by saying that the Minister of Trade and Industry should consider this, as reflected in the Preferential Procurement Framework Act and the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Regulations are implemented by all government departments, provincial and local government spheres, as well as state-owned enterprises, as these are instruments to facilitate economic development, localization, and employment creation. I was under the impression that it's not only regulation, it's principal legislation. It's not just the regulation. They don't obey anything, or go through a red robot if they could. Let's make that clear. 2, engaging National Treasury to ensure NAMESA receives the necessary funding for its recap program due to its strategic importance to the economy as well as the well-being. The well-being, the safety. Well-being is such a soft thing. You know, you feel well. I think we should be a little bit stronger. Safety, yes. If you get the wrong amount of medication, you're dead. Nothing to do with your well-being. You'll be in a box. In consultation with the Minister of Finance, securing additional funds. Yes. Honourable McPherson, this is something you have raised strategically. Is it sufficient? Additional funds to continue with the manufacturing competitive enhancement program over the medium term expenditure framework. Yes.
With respect, this has been coming up over the last 2 years.
No, but can you just add?
Well, I mean, I think it's important that we also point out that we want the long term. View, you know, the 5 to 10 year view, sector specific one, and that must inform then what money the Minister of Finance is given.
It's basically the strategic importance of this, but can we get that little bit in? Do we all agree? I don't think there's anyone that doesn't agree. It's in the body, the quandary is busy saying, so we'll just get that clearer. Right, now, we've got a lot of references. This is very good for any of you writing exams. Can I read the intro? Don't blame anyone but me for this, if it's not what reflects the position. The Hermans are very pleased that I said that. The budget is informed by South Africa's commitment to creating sustainable jobs, building an inclusive economy in a developmental state, while enhancing its trade with the global economy. The Department of Trade and Industry is using industrialization and a value chain that is harnessing the manufacturing sector, which is the most labor-absorbing sector of the economy. The Department's core mandate, which is underpinned by the government's commitment to improving the lives of all South Africans, especially the most vulnerable, industrialization through manufacturing, trade, productive investment, and local procurement are all instruments used to drive job creation across the country and in all sectors while ensuring full participation by all South Africans in the economy. The DA will be pleased to learn I kept my references to colonialism for my own speech. The industrialization and local procurement. The largest allocation of 62% is 5.7 billion, which goes to incentive development and administration, is an instrument which the private sector also recognizes as so successful it is always oversubscribed. High impact of the incentives is focused on agro-processing, automotive, original equipment manufacturing, and industrial policy action plan is more tightly focused into the critical sectors of the economy to achieve more effective results. IPAP is firmly entrenched in government's overall policy and plans to address the key challenges of economic and industrial growth and race-based poverty, inequality, and unemployment. The plan, which is a key component of the 9-point plan, aims to develop a more competitive and diversified economy with a higher global share of products. Local public procurement is intended to drive the localization policy to support the local manufacturing, including small enterprises, Black Industrialist Program, and the creation of jobs in the economy. LP, I think that is local procurement, is a critical tool in driving demand. Demand-led industrialization, and can effectively contribute positively. However, state-owned entities as the custodians of this policy are expected to implement it more effectively. Now, I realize that rambled a bit. We'll clean it up, but that's the substance, all right? Thank you, Zakwanda, for helping me at the final hour. So, can I please, what do you want to do? Yes, give me the page. I can't read that. Oh, you won't have it on the page. Can you read it? I think that says it very effectively. What do we think? Dean, you were the one who was very, you know, thank you for mentioning the amendments. They're very important. Seconded by, is the DA not set? Yes, Honourable Matheson. the adoption of the budget, per se. And I do think that there is a difference, because when you adopt a report, it's like a court report. You may not accept the verdict, but you are saying that it's a true reflection. So I have raised this, but I'm putting it on record now.
Do you want to take a peer membership?
No. I can't be part of, caucuses where irrationality prevails. Can we have a seconder? Honourable Mantash, thank you. No, I do mean it, but I know that you've probably taken it up, both of you. I hope so, anyway. Members, that's our debate that day. So why are we having a committee meeting? I'm told it is because there are so few days left to us. But I am trying to take your point into account and from what informs it. So I am going to cancel the meeting on the 23rd, although that is the chair's decision and wouldn't be necessarily supported by the powers that be, per se. But I think I'm doing it with the right intention and I can motivate it. What I do want to do, though, is that is a very important meeting with National Treasury. Because we are meeting National Treasury on the 24th, at what time with finance? At 9 o'clock with National Treasury. I'm going to ask the finance chairperson, if either we can meet before that at 8:30 to 9:30 to get this input as trade and industry on our meeting, on our work, and can we start there at 10 o'clock, the rest of the meeting. If they don't agree to that, then we'll have to meet after the half sitting that night with Treasury. So I'm certainly trying to persuade Mr. Karim, Chairperson Karim, that we meet before we join finance together. Is that clear? And I will communicate to each of you by SMS, which would require that you are here Monday night. Yes, Honourable Munsell? Sorry? It would be on Wednesday the 24th. I think that's very valid. Do we agree? Yes. You also, on your tempo, you want to say something? So let's get this quite clear. We were scheduled to meet Tuesday. We now are not meeting on Tuesday. We've got our budget debate. One. Two, when can we do that? Because it's imperative. It's on debt. It's the committee bill on debt. We are now asking Mr. Chairperson Karim, can we meet before the joint meeting at 8:30 to 9:30? We expect everyone except the Honourable Van Skulpeng to be there. Are we quite clear on that one? Honourable Hill-Lewis, I'm looking at yourself. Can you, I hope you can make that one, especially you're in the subcommittee. The other thing is we have an exclusive invitation, I really find that odd, from SAMAC and SAGA, the South African Avocado Growers Association. Wait a minute, they bring in a lot of revenue, foreign currency and South African Macadamia Growers Association. And people in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga should be cracking, you know, because we're trying to point out how much we contribute to the GDP thing. They've invited us to a dinner at 1800, I think it's a dinner, is it? A pre-budget vote dinner. It's not pre, we would have already had our vote post-budget. We're all invited. I think it's a very good idea to encourage our growers, don't you? So I'll see that you all get this, and I will be saying, giving the names to them on Monday. If you can give your name to Mr. Who gave me this? Mr. Medina? Mr. Who? Mr. Medina. Right. We also have an invitation from SIPCO, is it? The company. SIPCO. Is it this one here? The Minister of Trade and Industry. No, this is not it. But in any event, it is right here in Cape Town. You must be very pleased to learn that, Honourable Bill Lewis, where they've launched. But I think you're aware that they've launched here. Now, it's a formal launch. We have a meeting on the 1st of June. It's a Wednesday. But we're going to start off the 1st of June. The 31st? So it should be the 31st, Wednesday then, so please make sure they get that to the 31st. He looked at his calendar, it was a Wednesday the 1st, so I'm sorry. Okay, so the 31st, the Wednesday that week, the Wednesday, either the Wednesday or the Tuesday. And I think the Wednesday would be preferable. We can go down there for the launch, come back. All right? So he wants us to be there for that launch office. It's a very important opening because companies are really custodians of the business community and also ensure that we can operate effectively not only in the country but outside. And I think the Honourable Mantash is aware of that. You've had dealings with them, haven't you? Well, I was going to refer to them as well. It's a pity that they've got cold feet, yes. But notwithstanding that, let's go. Meeting adjourned. Should you sit in here?
How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm all good. Are you rushing somewhere tonight?